The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 429. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero. Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
There he is. Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
And Brian Majoma.
What up, what up?
All right, man, we're back with another one just at the top of the show. Apologies if I sound a little weird. I got the sniffles because it's that time of year, people. You already know, so forgive me.
Those transitional phases.
Yeah, exactly. They get you, man. No Chris action. He is down for the count, and we will be checking his Steam to make sure he's not playing any games. Yo, I'm telling you, man. Last time he's I'm too tired. I'm too tired. We see this motherfucker on Steam playing Resident Evil.
Yeah, he's sick. He's got the T virus.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's got Las Plagas.
Yeah, but I obviously I'm not going to begrudge anyone playing a video game on a video game podcast. Whenever I hear those little clicky clacks in the background, I feel proud inside, you know?
With Chris, for like 2 years, it was just the GTA sounds on the controller.
That's right. Like, oh, shit, what you're playing? I know what you're playing, you know? Who we got in the house? We got Logic Wins, man. Jay Shep, Barry Burton. You already know, man. All right. So we got another show for you. One of these weeks, you know, it's been a lot of these weeks, I should say, slow. Not a lot happened, but some interesting stuff to talk about regardless, you know. So what do we have here? You know what? I'll save this one for later. Let's talk about this new PlayStation handheld. Manny, what is going on?
Uh-oh.
Oh, apparently a leak happened pretty recently that Sony is going to be working on a fully streaming platform of a handheld platform. So think a remote play console or handheld.
Oh, yeah, and it's like only for PS5, right, or something like that. They're saying
it's only for PS5.
Yeah. Again, this is something this thing's short. I'll read this. This is from Tom Henderson, who's a notorious character in the game industry. A lot of reports leak. Some people trust him, some people doubt him. So, you know, take that how you will. Anyway, he goes, following days of speculation, Insider Gaming, which is the publication he writes for, can report that there's a new PlayStation handheld in development. Codenamed the Q-Lite, the next PlayStation handheld is the next piece of Sony hardware that aims to be yet another piece of hardware that requires a PlayStation 5. Insider Gaming understands that the Q-Lite is not a cloud streaming service, but instead uses remote play with the PlayStation 5, a feature the console giant has been pushing these past couple of weeks. Sporting adaptive streaming up to 1080p is 60 frames a second. The new device will require constant connectivity to the internet. As for the console's physical features, an early prototype show the console will look a lot like the PlayStation 5 controller, but with a massive 8-inch LCD touchscreen in the center. The device sports adaptive triggers for haptic feedback and will include what you would come to expect from a handheld: volume buttons, speakers, and audio input jack, etc. Insider Gaming understands that the Q-Lite is in QA phase and is scheduled to release before the PlayStation 5 Pro and after the detachable disc drive PS5. I guess these things are coming. As previously mentioned by Insider Jeff Grubb, Sony is planning to announce its quote-unquote second phase of the PS5, which was a reference in its future game slate. Ironically, though, his second phase is very much true to Sony's hardware offerings with the new detachable disc drive PS5, Project Nomad, wireless earphones, Project Voyager, wireless headset, and Q-Lite handheld, all scheduled to release within a very short time period. It's understood that the PS5 Pro is aiming for holiday 2024. Okay, so that's next year. So whenever Sony's next PlayStation showcase will be, it's seemingly going to be a big one. Interesting. That's a lot of shit coming from PlayStation, you know?
Supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly, according to, you know, these reports. So I don't understand the purpose of this quote-unquote handheld, because it's like, if you know what I'm saying?
Because, yeah. Yeah, you know, I it's funny. I actually mentioned this in reply to the Electric Playground. They were like, they asked on there, like, hey, do you want to, you know, what would you think about this thing? And I'm like, well, the thing is, like, you know, I ride the train. We ride the train. If you ride the subway, you know how the subway is. You know, on the platform, you get full service. Yeah. And then in the tunnels, you don't. So that means that when you're remote playing your game, you're going to constantly be cutting out and reconnecting. So what's the use?
Yeah, that's pointless. Yeah.
And not to mention, like, I would have to say this, like, you know, like, most shitty normal Wi-Fi is, you know, like, public Wi-Fi or even other services are not very good. So you're telling me you're not only, and then not to mention, PlayStation's remote play service is still pretty shitty, even to this day. Yeah. You know, if it can't run, like, how many times has Brett talked about how shitty it runs through his own Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah.
Hey, that's not my Wi-Fi. That is definitely
no. It's not your Wi-Fi. It's not your Wi-Fi at all. It's whatever bullshit, whatever way that they're pushing stuff over, and they're not even pushing it like, you know, like it, this used to happen on the previous one remote play running on PlayStation Vita. It never ran well, and I haven't tried it on PC in years, but still, I don't know. I don't trust Sony's infrastructure to be able to handle something like this, and then it'll just be a less than desirable situation. So,
Yeah, I don't know about this. Like, just the fact that, like, it needs constant connectivity to the internet, that's already a fail right there, you know?
Well, it's an epic fail because if the rumors are true, why the hell only make a remote play thing? You know, I understand streaming only, but doesn't Sony have a streaming service apart from remote play? Like,
yeah, don't they have a specific streaming service for all of this? It's almost like they're literally cutting their own companies out of these things. It's kind of silly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that maybe the reports aren't telling the whole details, which it's probably likely. But it would make sense if it had connectivity to the PlayStation Plus higher tier services.
Yeah.
Kind of like how I've been clamoring for Xbox to do a sort of a Surface tablet, an Xbox branded Surface tablet that just does Game Pass. That would be a great sell for them. It looks like Sony's kind of doing something like this, but if it's only remote play, then it's an epic fail.
Yeah.
Epic fail.
yeah, no, again, I'm rereading this just to make sure I didn't miss it. No, you need to be constantly connected to the internet. That alone just makes this device worthless. I don't fucking get it.
It makes it useless. Like, I could see if it was an all digital console, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And
sure.
Then it was an all digital console. It runs remote play and it runs your Gaikai or PlayStation Now.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't totally agree with you guys. There is still a lot of use cases. Yeah, the subway stuff is definitely a big issue with that. In general, what I've experienced, you know, in the last couple of years is 5G and 4G and ultra band and all the other stuff. It's been pretty good. It's been reliable and consistent for me, at least. You know, we'll see how it is.
Have you been running remote play recently?
No, but I guess what I'm saying, if it's remote play, then it's an epic fail. But if it's you know, the PlayStation Now stuff, then maybe that's a better way to handle it. I don't trust remote play. In general,
the fact is you have to have your console on and in sleep mode.
Yeah.
And all of that silliness.
I mean, it's cool to have the feature. I'm just saying, if that's the only feature that it has, then that's not a good look. But I think Sony, I'm gonna give Jimbo the benefit of the doubt and say that PS Now is gonna be at the heart of what this thing is going to do.
Hopefully, I'm wondering, you know, if that's the case, like, you're right. If it doesn't require remote play, like, you need, okay, if it requires constant internet connection, but not remote play, like, you can just use, like you said, 5G or whatever, I guess that's okay. Like, yeah, if you're, like, hanging out in Central Park or whatever, you're probably going to be okay, or, you know, but, like, yeah. Again, it's like, and I'm speaking just for myself, it's like, I don't really take any system outside. So it's like, why am I going to remote play with this thing when I have a PlayStation 5 right there on my big TV, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this could be for the people that, you know, are traveling in a car or maybe an above ground train,
yeah,
or in a
L park, train, baby.
Going yeah. to the L train, going to the grandma's house. And then, you know, grandma doesn't have the PlayStation 5. So, you know, gotta have something and bring that console out and remote play your own and stuff like yeah. that. So,
okay, yeah. See, under that case, then I could see the worth of it, you know. But if it's remote play, man, mm-mm.
Yeah. No. If it's just remote play, then that's tough.
Yeah,
that's really tough.
And like, Sony's been pushing remote play recently. I haven't heard any of this.
No, I haven't. I haven't used or heard of remote play in a while.
This is, for me, is pointless, you know. But yeah, so you know what, Carlos, I think you swayed me over to your side. I'll give Sony a little bit of a benefit of the doubt here. Or at least assume they're not going to be as stupid as to just make this remote play only, you know?
Yeah, that would be dumb.
I don't know. I love Mighty Nerd's, you know, like, theories, man. He's like, the console will be a PlayStation 4 Pro built on TSMC 6 nanometer node in the form of a phone.
I feel like a lot of this.
Everyone
is
needs a phone.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is leveraging the stuff that they have already. But instead of having to develop something fully new, they're just using whatever they have. Hey, look, we took a PlayStation and attached it to a screen. You know, a PlayStation controller and attached it to a screen. There we go.
So yeah. I mean, okay. Do we think it's going to have its own dedicated gate? Like, we don't actually... Oh, no. We actually think it's going to have...
Oh, hell no. That's no, no, no,
like, that's nobody why actually thinks it's going to play PlayStation 5 games, do they?
It's going to be able to stream PlayStation 5 games.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
That's
like,
why they're not committing. Yeah. That's why they're not committing to any sort of thing. They don't want to develop a whole new console.
Okay, I'm hearing two different things.
Are you?
I'm hearing... Okay, so is it going to be a dedicated streaming device? And you're like, that... would be stupid. Okay, well, if it's not just dedicated,
No, we're not saying that. We're saying if it's just remote play, that's stupid. But if it's a streaming device you could play with 5G, that's okay. Understand? It's the remote play part we have a problem with. Understand?
Okay.
Yeah, the streaming part is not the issue. So that's the issue. But their remote play system is not, you know, is not the greatest.
Yeah.
Does remote play integrate with your, like, if you're playing God of War, can you just pick it up and and stream God of War from, like, your game and
you
then
can
go
do
home
it,
and
you
play,
can do it
back
now.
Up on the PlayStation?
You can do it now with the current Vita or your PC. Oh, it reads your save. All it is just broadcasting what you're currently playing on your PlayStation. That's all it's doing.
Well, that's remote play, not streaming.
Yeah, that is remote.
Yeah,
yes,
that's what
exactly.
It is. It's remote play.
And I'm saying, is your streaming experience going to be integrated with your standard experience? Like,
I don't think they're gonna. I don't think it's going to be any. At least from what the perception that these guys seem to be putting out, it's just a remote play console, and that's it.
That's
no,
what it seems
no,
like.
It doesn't involve any of their streaming service at all. It seems
that would yeah okay that right there just seems. Stupid to me.
Hold on, Brett. You bring up a good point, though. Okay, again, and this is just assumptions, right? Because that's all we have. Okay, let's say you're playing this over PlayStation Now, right? You know, their streaming service, right? Is your progress? Let's say you're playing God of War. You get up to a certain point. Is that going to be saved? And then can you pick up again on your PlayStation console, like where you left off? You know, because if that doesn't happen, that's a fail too. You know.
Yeah, I mean they'd have to pretty much make it seamless.
Yeah.
If it's running remote play, it's saving it directly to your console. So yes, you should be able to do it. I mean, yeah.
Cuz I would be stupid too.
Dude, we did this already with the PlayStation Vita and the PlayStation Portable. When you played remote play on both of those things, it's all you're doing is essentially it's throwing video at your thing and it's sending your control inputs to your console. That's all it's doing.
I know, but I'm not asking that. I'm asking if we're using PlayStation's cloud servers, not remote play, right? But I'm going to guess if you're using the cloud servers, it should be able to save your progress. But Brett, do you at least understand what we mean between the difference between remote play?
No, I do. And like, okay. I think you understand what I'm saying. Like, I can see all the pieces there. It's just a question of, like, is it going to be seamlessly integrated? Is it going to function well? Like, remote play hasn't worked well.
Nope.
Like, it's the only time I've seen remote play work well is when Steam did it.
Yeah, because think about it like this: remote play. If you leave your PlayStation off, you're screwed. You can't remote play shit. You know. So yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what comes of this. And my other question is: was this in demand? Like, were people asking for something like this? Very strange. I think that
they're responding to the deck, man. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, we got a story about that too coming up.
Most of these companies are tone deaf enough to be like, oh, so people just like portable. I see Nintendo did a portable and Steam did a portable. That's portables are the in thing right now. So that's all we got to do is just, you know, make it portable.
Oh, but to quote you, Manny, tone dip. There you go. I knew it. The toe dip.
That's what this is. This is a total toe dip. It's not even committing to anything.
Yo, man, you never nail in that motherfucker.
Exactly.
Yeah. Brian, did I hear you in there trying to get in?
Yeah. Okay. I think the whole thing is just dumb. Dumb beyond belief. Like, it seemed like so out of touch. Like who is this made for? Like who? Like who actually is asking for this and just this? It makes no sense on so many levels. It's like, okay, it's just limited to remote play. Why? Yeah. You know, like,
yeah, the remote
like,
play.
Considering that you can already, I think that you can already remote play from your phone as is, and you can just hook that up with like a controller, and then plus you have it on the Steam Deck, so you pretty much have it on everything else that matters. So you're asking people to go out that have phones and or a Steam Deck to say, hey, go out and buy this device just to stream your PS5 games that you already can stream now.
That's
on
a good question.
Most things you have.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a great point. You're right. Like, why would anybody here, any of us with Steam Decks, want this thing, right? Like, come on.
I would just prefer them to have a new console, man. Just stop this bullshit, man. Either that, or you're getting a new one, baby, with
that PS5 Pro.
Or just make your, obviously you want to do your little Stadia. So then do PlayStation fucking Stadia then.
We're going to talk about that too later on.
I will mention what my reasoning would be if I were to release this console, which could be completely different to Sony's reasoning because, you know, Sony does whatever the hell they do. If I were to give Jimbo the benefit of the doubt, it's always a toe dip, Manny, always a freaking toe dip. And this is their toe dip to try to get people to subscribe to PS Now. That's what this is. Cause you need people to get excited for it. And so far, I don't even know who the hell is excited for PS Now other than the hardcore Sony fanboys.
Yeah, you're right.
So I mentioned this earlier in the show. That's what my, like, if I was like, I just had my Phil Spencer hat on and I'm like, bro, just release the freaking an Xbox branded Surface and you'll get people to play Game Pass on it. Be like, okay, here's an Xbox Surface. It looks cool. It's got some Halo and some Gears and some other stuff on it. And then it comes with a 1 month pass of Game Pass where, you know, people play Game Pass on that tablet. And once after that month is over, people are just re-enrolled and now they're paying and people forget. And that's how they get you. But that's how I thought Microsoft should do it. And that's what I'm kind of seeing with Sony. But obviously it's a toe dip as a regards to the Steam Deck, which is a toe dip. Well, not even a toe dip. There's a response to the Switch. So it's, you know, That's all it is. It's they're trying to, you know, get their hands on all these markets that could potentially help for their services.
Yeah. Jay Shep, what's going on, brother? He goes, I don't even know the difference between PlayStation Now and PlayStation Plus. I thought they were the same thing. They kind of are now.
Yeah, they are. We just say now. PlayStation Now because we always forget what tier is a streaming tier. What is it? Is it bronze? I don't know. Yeah. I just call it PS Now. We even do Gaikai because we don't know.
Real quick, Jay Shep, you said this twice already. I want to talk about this. He goes, no way Sony would toe dip in a recession. Yes, they would. The way they're seeing it, I'm like, fuck, this. We have a recession and we're still selling our fucking consoles. These people will buy anything we want, you know, so, or anything we release. So they absolutely would do this. Though in their eyes, they're winning, which they are, obviously. What was PlayStation's numbers? We talked about this last week. It was like just fucking selling out everywhere, you know? So yeah, they would. They're like, the way they see it, they could take this chance because they're doing so well, you know? And we'll see. This thing's priced right, you never know, man. Although I think, man, even charging $200 might be too much for this shit, you know? If it's just a streaming but then again, we've seen streaming consoles cost a lot more than this too, you know? So I don't know. It would be screwed up, but listen, man, that's the way these corporations are, bro, you know?
What about Now hasn't told you all these companies are just fucking people over? I mean, some of these places are just firing people just to fire people. It's not like they're losing any money. They just never hit the projections that they set for themselves.
Yep,
because they're all butthurt because they're not making the same amount of money during the pandemic as they did during the pandemic time.
I'm not gonna rant about that shit. It's like, guys, like that was a different situation. But yeah, any more thoughts on this PlayStation handheld Project Q Lite, whatever the fuck it's called?
Yeah, I think the whole thing is just dead in the water. It's dead on arrival. Yeah,
dead on arrival.
I mean, this is the same company that brought you the PSVR2, the thing that no one really asked for and is floundering. This is also the same company, and I want to reiterate this because I remember that there was a certain one person, and I said that on purpose, who defended when I raised up the point that the PlayStation is it the Vita TV thing?
Yeah.
You know, and I said this thing has no audience and it's going to die, and it died. But a certain one person was saying otherwise because his friends wanted to play the Vita on TV, and it's like, no, the company doesn't understand that all people wanted was a Vita that you just dock or plug in and output to a TV, like a fucking Steam Deck or Switch could. You know, it's like this company just doesn't seem to understand that. Just keep things simple. You know, if you make a handheld, put out some games for it, you know, or allow it to play your library somehow, you know, keep it simple, you know, like don't just say, okay, it's streaming only. Like, why? Have it connect to your streaming service or something, you know, make it make sense.
Yeah.
That just not doing that. I also have no faith in this at all, to be fair.
Yeah. It's looking kind of suspect. Jay Shep is asking me, if this was exactly like the Steam Deck, how much would you pay for it? It's not going to be exactly like the Steam Deck because it's a streaming thing. Like, for it to be like the Steam Deck, it has to play games locally, which it's not going to. So, kind of a moot point there, you know? And I would be fucking impressed if you get a PlayStation 5 in such a small case, you know? But we're not going to see a thing like that for a long time, you know? Although it will happen eventually because technology and all that. By the way, shout out to Moore. You know, he passed away, was it 2 weeks ago? The guy who came up with Moore's Law. That's what I meant by everything getting smaller. Hypothetically, that's a hypothetical I can't go to because we already know for a fact this is not going to be it's not going to play games locally. It's only going to be streaming. So you can't make up a hypothetical when we already have facts there, even though it is a rumor too, you know? But you know what? Let's have some fun with it. How much would I pay for a portable PlayStation 5? No price. Like, no, I'm good. I got a PlayStation 5 right there. You know, I'm good already, you know? And again, even with the Steam Deck, I mostly bought it, and I've said this many times, I mostly bought it because I wanted to support the technology and to, you know, kind of throw a little fist at Nintendo, you know? It's like, I knew I was going to be playing this thing a lot. I'm not a handheld gamer like that. I like to play on my big TV, you know? But I like supporting cool tech, you know? And it, shout out to Valve. They did it. They did it right. You know, they fucked up with the Steam machines, but they did this shit right. And now, because of the Steam Deck, everybody's jumping on board. You know, we're going to talk about that in a bit. You know, anyway, let's move on here. Another PlayStation story. Another, but this one is not a rumor. This is like, it's a patent for this shit. So it's like, obviously, patent doesn't mean something is going to come out, but it means, hey, someone's thinking about this. And what's interesting about the story is that we actually heard it here first on Throwdown about 3 years ago from a good friend, Mr. Hip Hop Gamer. One of the things he talked about was that PlayStation was going to develop a controller that changes temperature. That's what this patent says. So, you know, give respect where it's due, man. It's crazy.
Wait, repeat that again?
Okay.
That sounded weird.
Okay. Maybe you don't remember, Charles. Remember when Hip Hop Gamers was telling us about the, you know, the remastering engine and all that stuff?
Yeah.
So one of the things he said is that Sony is working on a controller that changes temperature.
Oh, yeah. I remember it. So Hip Hop was going over all the different patents that Sony was going at.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is, yeah, so this this patent is real, you know. But like I said, just because a patent exists doesn't mean it actually come out, you know.
They're just putting the line in the sand, you know, that they have an idea, but it doesn't exactly mean if it's ever going to come out. All that stuff for like they wouldn't call it remastering engine, but they did have a patent to essentially conjigger whatever, you know, to be able to run games natively. But it never came to fruition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just real quick, I'm not going to read this whole thing. Just a couple of bits of it. This is from Dextero. Sony has filed a new patent for a controller that can alter its temperature depending on what's happening in the game. The patent, which was published on March 30th, was only just begun to surface. Okay, so that's interesting, you know. My question is, do you guys want anything like that? I'm like, that sounds kind of gimmicky.
No.
That sounds stupid. You know, imagine you play the fun game. You fucking burn your hand, drop the controller and shit, you know? I don't know. That sounds like a gimmick to me. Maybe Adam would like it.
It's a total gimmick.
You know?
No, I mean, I just
put it on my body.
I suppose I can't wait to have a hot controller in my hand so they can sweat more while I'm playing video games.
But, okay, I can understand how it could create heat. What about cold? Like, is it going to have, like, Freon or whatever fuck it's called?
Like a heat pump?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what's the shit inside of air conditioners? Like,
bro, I just want the controllers with the fans and the grips.
Yeah, it's gonna have little fans. Oh, shit, it's cold.
Yeah, you know? and watch it lose the battery life on that thing.
Yeah, right.
I was just about to say the same thing. It's like Sony seemed to be just wanting to say, hey, let's just add all this stuff onto controllers. It's like, how about adding battery life to the controllers, you know?
I'd like to see a patent for a battery that lasts for more than 3 hours or something.
Yeah. Like, this is exactly what I mean by, like, the company just doesn't seem to understand things. It's like, hey, let's make this thing that people don't really want. It's like, no, just keep it simple. Like, people want more battery in controllers, but yet they're adding more stuff to it. It's like, hey, let's just add more features. And then the thing that gets me as well is, like, you're going to run up against issues with thermodynamics and how the thing's going to work. Again, as Tony said, how's it going to cool down? You know, yeah. Like... there are laws of thermodynamics for a reason. You can't bypass them. So either it needs to have some sort of coolant in there that somehow works, which raises so many other problems, or to have some fans that just blow cold air.
So
we'll be shit.
Right here it says it uses a macromolecular gel material to create both the temperatures and sensations, because apparently it's going to have, you could like grip it and like actions will happen. What the fuck is a macromolecular gel material? That's some Star Trek shit. You know, Geordi just said that shit, you know? Macromolecular gel material, you know?
Did you say
thermal gel from Mass Effect. It only does everything.
Yeah, macromolecular.
So bigger than molecules?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Like, you know, anything. Jesus Christ. That's just such a dumb... I'm done right there, man. Macromolecular. Fuck me.
I'm telling you, that's some Star
just,
Trek
they,
shit.
They're just invoking some of those goofball of fake science words like Star Trek: The Next Generation.
That's what I'm saying, Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yo, man, it runs on tachyon, son.
Yeah, Logic Wind goes, yeah, you're right. That all sounds cool, but are you willing to deal with 30 minutes of battery life for it? Keep that shit plugged in, you know? Barry Byrne goes, in my day, we had one button and you press it and we were all happy it worked. Yeah, this sounds
actually, it
dumb.
Didn't work so well if you're talking Atari. Oh, that controller was a piece of garbage.
Yeah, yeah, this sounds stupid. It's like, this is more say it's dumb, you know?
What was that? The enzymes coagulate to what was that thing from Dave Chappelle? I think it was Red Man. He's like, "Yo, man, and the enzymes collaborate."
Remember, from In Living Color, Damon Wayans, like he was like the smart guy in jail, but like all the words he used were all wrong. When you gesticulate the ovulation.
Exacerbate my acralization with this impetigration.
Exactly. When you erect the phallus into the vesicular fortitude, it's like, dude, you're just throwing words out there. Oh, man. All right, let's move on. Hey, okay, we got to talk about this fucking Asus fucking handheld. Everybody's doing it. You know, and by the way, I am saying that name correctly. I asked the company reps themselves, how do you say your fucking name? Not, I didn't say fucking, obviously, because I always said Asus, right? You know, like the whole time, like, or because I was like, it can't be Asus. So I was like, Jesus. No, it's Asus. So now they have their own handheld coming out. the Ally, the ROG Ally. It's a Steam Deck like handheld gaming PC. Runs on Windows 11. And we don't have a release date for it yet, but, you know, kind of interesting. And what's cool about this thing is you could plug it into Asus's, like, external GPU. So you could get, like, a lot of, like, fucking graphical power out of this. But my question to you guys is this going to be enough to compete with the Steam Deck? Because it seems like the Steam Deck is, like, pretty well, like, entrenched. You know, it's going to be pretty hard to topple. But this will play games natively. It's not streaming, you know, so that's already a plus.
I mean, can we just be real for a minute? Sony has never made a product as good as the Steam Deck.
Yeah, well, this isn't like, Sony. This is Asus.
Like, well, hey, nothing's going to top the Steam Deck, man. Like, I don't even try to know how to say it. It is one of the most quality pieces of engineering I've seen in a long fucking time. If you're going to try and beat it simply on quality and technical specs, you're not going to be able to touch their price point. It's... Yeah, I mean, in a few years, maybe, but like by the time, like I think Valve's on top of that. I think that's when we'll be getting the Steam Deck too. And I'm trying to rush it, but
no. And I'm glad you bring that up because there actually are a couple of other handhelds out there that are more powerful than the Steam Deck. But the thing is, they cost a lot more, and they haven't really taken off. And this one,
well, there's also that magic X Factor. Like, it's tough to put into words, but when each of you put the Steam Deck in your hands, immediately all you went, ooh.
Yeah,
like it feels right, man.
The fun thing about the Steam Deck, and Brett, I don't know if you had this experience too. Like when you like just take it out the box, you're like, "Damn, this thing looks fucking huge." So you're expecting it to be heavy, right, and cumbersome, and you take it out, you're like, "Whoa, hold on a second here."
Yeah, but it feels solid.
No, but that's what I'm saying. You're like, "Ooh, this is lighter than I expected." That was literally the reaction I had from everybody at the office when I took it in. I had the Steam Deck like behind me, and people were like, "Yo, look at that big fucking thing." I'm like, "Hold it." They're like, "Oh shit." You know, because it's so light. It's like the weight distribution is perfect on this thing, you know?
Anyway, I'm not even trying to like sound like, you know, like Steam Deck fanboy. Like the thing is just a solid quality piece of engineering that like I have seen maybe a couple times in my life, like something that seems like it's built to genuinely last and do its job and take a beating like that. Like it doesn't happen very often, man.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. But by the way, I kind of forgot to mention the most funny thing about this product. You know when it was announced? On April 1st. Oh, on a Saturday.
Wah, wah.
So people were like, fuck out of here, right? So on Monday, Asus had a tweet. This is real. This is not a joke. This is real. And then some tech YouTuber, I think it's Dave2D, he actually had it in hand and stuff. So it was like, okay, this is real. But it's like, that's a bad time to announce anything, guys. That was a weird day, too, if you saw some of those fucking gaming stories coming out, you know? Anyway, go ahead, Manny.
Unless you're going to put like a novelty out, like a silly, goofy novelty, like that Sonic murder mystery game, you know, come on.
Yeah. New Kick Z, I believe that's a new name. What's going on, brother? He goes, I honestly think it's amazing that more companies are delving into the handheld space. This will make handhelds more affordable for us gamers. I agree with that. Keep them coming, you know, because competition is always a good thing, you know. I want somebody to I wrote about this thing for my work, and I'm like, yeah, I want this thing to be a good competitor for Steam Deck, because I want Valve to keep pushing it forward. I want other companies to keep pushing forward, and we'll all win. You know, we can't just have the fucking Nintendo Switch be the dominant handheld, that piece of shit. You know, we need some real stuff. Also, out there. It will, because it's the cheapest one, but still, go ahead.
Not to mention the biggest thing, at least for a lot of us that are kind of legacy gamers here. When we sell when we have the Steam Deck, and then Valve comes up with a Steam Deck Part 2 or the Super Steam Deck or the Steam Deck U or whatever the hell it's going to be called. But it's not going to have a 3 on it. I know that. we know that the Steam Deck library is going to be available from day one. When Nintendo comes up with a Switch 2 or the Switch U, I'm pretty sure, unless they surprise me, they're gonna flip the Switch and it's like, oh yeah, the games you have for the Switch, yeah, that's cool, but you have to buy those all over again for the for the new console. So
yeah, but of course the Nintendo fans will be more than happy to do that. You know, buy the Mario Kart again, you know.
When is the new Smash Brothers character gonna be announced?
You know, but you're right, man. You get that Steam Deck, you already know, man. You already know you're good to go. Yo, by the way, Carlos, Steam Deck 2, day one.
Oh yeah.
My man. Gotta support.
Day one all day. Yo, man, that's you know, the Steam Deck, they did it right. This is how you do it. I always give props to Valve, even when they mess up and don't release a Portal 3. Like, they got it, you know, they did this right, and you know, they failed with the Steam machines. The Steam controller was, I wouldn't say that was a failure, but it just wasn't the big hit that it came out. But you know, with this, they knocked it off the park. It's a valid competitor to the Switch. For me, it's light years ahead.
Oh yeah.
I have all my games. I'm not even sure if all of them are compatible, but I'm pretty sure most of them are. So that's going to get even better as soon as more people are buying the Steam Decks, which they are.
Yep.
And Valve Q supporting it. So can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, games will become compatible like in time, you know. What I found funny was like, cause, and this was announced recently too, that, Cyberpunk was Steam verified. I'm like, I've been playing that thing on Steam Deck since the fucking console came out, and it was running fine. It even had a dedicated Steam Deck mode within the settings, you know. So even games that aren't verified can work well, as Adam can attest to, you know.
Yeah,
I've been playing that since day one, you know.
The Rockstar's Table Tennis wasn't verified, but you know, it wasn't on the Steam Deck library either. But you know, we'll talk about that.
Yo, man. But yeah, so yeah, we'll see what this new thing. We don't know when the hell is going to come out. But announcing on April Fool's is fucking hilarious.
Yo, Tony, you know what's the only thing they can't run on the Steam Deck?
What?
Metal Gear Solid 4.
Man.
Yo, man, we tried our best. We were like, oh, okay, let's do the instructions and install this. It took for fucking ever.
You know?
Man, what a goose egg, man.
And I had to let that thing like run overnight just to download that fucking thing, you know. Jesus, for nothing, for nothing, yeah. You know. Wait,
not even barely the menu screen.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, got to blame the fucking the cell processor for that shit, man. Mm-hmm. Bullshit, Mr. Davis.
You know? Fuck the cell.
All right, yeah. Brian, you have any thoughts on this? The Asus handheld.
Yeah, it's not gonna work. It's too expensive.
Yeah, what do you think the price is going to be, Brian?
At least 1,000. I mean, just looking at how powerful it is and how capable it is, it's like that thing's going to cost a lot. I mean, we're already seeing that the Iron Neo costing like 600, 700. So this can easily be like 800 plus. And again, who's going to want to pay that much money when unfortunately the Steam Deck's there at half, a third of the price?
What's the other one I'm thinking? Is that how you not pronounce it too? INEO? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That one's like, yeah, close to $1,000. There's another one. It's like Win 4 something. Forget the name of it.
Oh, yeah. The GPD Win.
Yeah. That one. That's also up there as well. Both of those are more powerful than the Steam Deck, but they cost more. This shit looks like it's going to be probably that. So I'm with you, Brian. I think it's probably going to be $1,000, you know? And then think about this, right? Again, for me, the coolest feature is being able to connect it to that the external GPU. You know how much that thing costs? $2,000.
Oh.
You know? So it's like, shit.
Hold on a second. Let me just realize something. This is the new fucking Tower of Power right here.
That's
a 32X all over again. $500 system and like a $600 headset and a $1,000 streaming device.
$600 headset? Man, what the fuck are you listening to?
And a $200 rumble kit.
You know? Yo, man, buy a $20 pair of headphones, man. He got a headphone jack
in it. It uses Bose technology.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the VR. But, you know, like if you got the whole fucking ecosystem, like the PS5 is the base system and then all the shit that can be bolted onto it, the VR headset, this thing, the extra heart, the extra.
This is not anything related with the PlayStation at all. This is Asus, dude.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm sorry. My brain went back to like handheld Sony and the handheld. Like,
You're just trying to drag Sony through the mud, man.
I just have nothing to say about
everything
Asus.
That sucks is made by Sony, damn it.
No, I just have nothing to say about Asus, and that's more damning of a statement.
Damn! All right, fair enough.
We are not going to be sponsored by Asus at all.
I like Asus, man. They make good stuff. As a matter of fact, both of my monitors here are Asus monitors, you know? Anyway, talking about condemnation, we got to talk about the Mario movie. Controversy in the industry, you know? I'm just making shit up. But no, so the movie came out on Wednesday, right? Me, my typical American ass, right? So I wake up, I see the audience scores. I'm like, how the hell are you guys doing? Like it's 9 a.m. How are you giving this scores? I forgot about the rest of the world. You know, it's already like the future for them, you know? But listen, back in the day, we used to get the movies first. You know, so I still have that mentality. You know, it's America, motherfucker. We make that
shit. This is Hollywood.
You know? Anyway.
Not Bollywood.
Yeah, so I don't know what the ratings are now, but initially it was like 53% of the critics didn't like it, which is a rotten on Rotten Tomatoes, and like 98% of the fans, the audience liked it. And some of the, the criticism seems interesting to me. And remember, I am saying this as a person who has no interest in this movie whatsoever. Don't care. Will not watch it. Don't give a shit. Right. But I still find some of this stuff kind of weirdly unfair. Right. One of the critics said, and I don't know what publication was, they said that the movie relies too much on fan service and nostalgia. I'm like, interesting. I'm pretty sure your publication raved about No Way Home, which is nothing but fan service. You know?
Why? When did it become bad to give fans things that make them happy? What was the Ready Player One was nothing but fan service. Like, I'm not saying it's the most highbrow or intellectual art form, but like, Jesus Christ, just what's so wrong with making your fans happy?
I don't know. I mean, what's the opposite of fan service, Brett?
Fan baiting?
Yeah, because that's all the rave now, you know?
And here's the thing, like, it's a Mario movie. It's a movie fueled entirely by nostalgia of middle-aged men trying to share their childhood with their children. What do you mean it's built out of fan service? How can it have too much fan service?
Yeah, you bring up a good point. Yeah. If there is a movie that should do fan service explicitly, it's this one, because we played all the frigging games. What the hell story do they have to tell?
Okay, I got to read some of these fucking critics. By the way, right now, as things stand, it is, let me go back real quick. 54% of the critics and 96% audience score. But let's read some of these critic things. You know, there's snippets.
Can you just point out something like really quickly that's kind of funny? Like, remember the last time they did a Mario movie that had like little to no fan service and how well that went down?
Yeah. Oh, Brian, I actually saw one, I think it was Forbes too, saying like, no, the 1993 movie's better than this shit. Like, wow. Nope. Okay. Anyway, so this is I don't know who Nick Johnson from Vinya Land. An 80-minute speed run through Mario World with little in the way of the fun that actually makes the video games themselves special, crammed full of generic fan service that will be lost on at least half the viewers. Another one. Yeah, okay, bruh. Allison D'Souza, The Straight Times, the Super Mario movie's trite and forgettable storyline could have been used as a power. Could have used a power up or three. Damn.
What do you guys want? Like, what revolutionary story? Like, you could have? And also, on the note that the other movie was better, I went back and I watched that movie, and while it was better than I remember it, it contains such fucking gems as the very first time the Mario Brothers show up in the world, an alarm goes off, and he goes, "Plumber alert! Plumber alert!" And I'm sitting there, I'm like, how the fuck do y'all even know what a plumber is? Much less have an entire sire. Like, how did you sense the plumber? None of this makes any, even try to make sense. He was like, ah, fuck it. Throw it in there. Like, this movie cannot be worse than that.
One of the
Bowser was a germaphobe who was kind of a germaphobe businessman who constantly washed his hands.
One of the reviews said justice for Bob Hoskins.
God, Jesus. The Super Mario movie is like fruit striped gum. It's super colorful and eye-catching, but it seems to instantly lose its flavor and charm. The film is surprisingly dull when it isn't slapping you in the face with rainbow-colored nostalgia. Tedious in its articulation of the obvious, the Super Mario Brothers movie seems both precious about and unsure of its property's coherence. The Super Mario Brothers movie seems genuinely concerned with putting on an authentic experience for children and their parents alike. The first-rate production values almost seem this bland and soulless blockbuster. Wait, the first-rate production values almost redeemed as bland, soulless blockbuster. Damn. Some of these people are like, wait, brutal. Yeah.
Did they just complain that this was a kid's film and they didn't like it?
Yes.
That's what it sounds like. Yep.
What sort of weirdness is that? It's like, oh, this is a kid's film. I don't like it. It's like, well, it's a kid's film. Like, you're not meant to like it as such. I have no idea.
I'll read this last one. The film is plastered with references, Easter eggs, and just about everything you can imagine from the game, so much so that the story is bare bones as Mario simply jumps from one colorful screen to the next without a care in the world.
That's the game!
That sounds like Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Well, except for the nostalgia. One thing I did hear was a big issue is that there's a lot of needle drops in that film. Like a lot of famous. Yeah, playing like, All-Star and all that other bullshit,
No, you gotta. What do you mean?
You know, hey, now you're an all-star. Get your game on.
No, yeah. I know. Like,
needle
drops. Where essentially you're playing, popular music within the movie. Like they'll be walking and then they'll play like Cher's "Do You Believe in Love." That doesn't happen. But stuff like that.
Okay, I got you. Needle drops.
When the music lands a little on the nose.
Yeah, I don't think anyone under 30 is going to understand that reference.
To be honest, some of the needle drops are older than most of the people that are probably watching the damn thing.
Yeah, right. Cher, "Do You Believe in Love?" What the fuck?
That's not in it. But there are some other ones that are just like the usual suspects of needle drops for kids films.
yo, Shane Chef, I was wondering the same thing. Where's Blitz? Here I am defending the fucking Mario movie, and he's not around. Ain't that funny?
Where you at, Blitz?
Where you at, man? Now he's gonna come back next week, and I'm gonna be shitting on Nintendo. He's like, oh, there's Tony again. Always hating on Nintendo. Oh, that old Tony hater. It's like I'm defending right now, motherfucker. Oh well. But yeah, these critics are fucking like, and this is coming from me. Like, wow, you guys are fucking jaded. Wow. Like, Jesus, it's a kids movie, guys. Chill the fuck out,
expecting this as deep narrative of about the psychosis of Mario and Luigi.
Yeah. Or Brian, maybe it didn't have enough of the message in it,
Possibly.
Also, I gotta say it. I'm wondering if some of this hate is coming from the fact that Mario is played by Chris Pratt. And I don't mean that he is not, the original. I'm talking about Chris Pratt. Some people in Hollywood don't like him, which will be interesting to see when the new Guardians comes out, That'll be interesting.
He, he has a way, you know, he's religious, and he, and
that's that, what it
and,
is.
And that, yeah. and that whatever, you know, sect of Christianity or whatever he belongs to has done some controversial things. So obviously they believe that.
Oh, is he a Mormon?
He stands, I'm not a Mormon, but no, I forgot what it was, but it's some sort of, it's some sort of of Christianity, you know, kind of like, think Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and stuff like that. I can't remember what it was called.
The Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special got a positive review on Rotten Tomatoes. Good.
So they'll probably like that. Oh, shit, Manny, Chris Pratt's as old as us.
Yeah, he is. He's 42.
43 now, actually. Interesting. Yep. What I want to know what religious sect he belonged. I thought he was just a regular-ass Christian.
No, he belongs to some sort of funky offshoot, so.
Yeah. I thought he was like him.
That's why a lot of people, you know, don't. It's not because there are definitely other people that are Christian or Protestant.
Oh, he's a Lutheran. He's a Lutheran and later worked for Jews. Oh, Adam's favorite organization, Jews for Jesus. You know.
Yeah. So he's a
non-denominational Christian. What the fuck is that?
A non-denominational is almost like the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, okay.
But not exactly the Jehovah's Witness, but it's like another, you know, like another offshoot of it.
It's
a spinoff.
Yeah, it's a spinoff. I can't make heads of all this shit. But yeah, so yeah, Mario movie. Yeah, again, these people seem to be shitting on the fact that it's a kids movie. What do you expect, man? Fucking weird. All right, let's move on here. Oh, God. Oh. Guess who left Google?
Is it time? Yes, it's time.
Yes, there you go. Stadia's over.
I was waiting for the story.
Yeah, we got to talk about Phil Harrison, our boy Phil Harrison. So Phil Harrison officially has left Google after the death of Stadia. Oh, man.
It is coming at the right time. Looks like Google's gaming division is about to be reborn, resurrect, should I say.
Yeah, well, they probably want to get rid of him. Obviously, that got asked the obvious question. What is going to be the next thing he kills, you know? This guy's the Grim Reaper of gaming, you know? Hey, Brian, get in here, man. What, say something about Phil Harrison.
Yeah, I didn't know it was this bad, but like, you guys are right. Like, this guy just, everything that he touches just turns to crap somehow, and it's amazing. So I just want to see where he's going next. I really hope he goes to either. He's been at Microsoft, right?
He's been at Microsoft, PlayStation.
He's got a gaming division at Amazon to kill.
Yeah, Brian, he was there. He was there on PlayStation with the PS3 days. He was there, Microsoft. You know, like everything he touches just like shrivels. You know.
Yeah. So what's Nintendo next? Oh.
Nintendo won't take him. It's gotta be a company.
We do not want your trash.
It's gonna be like a company that doesn't know much about gaming that's going to pick him up next. So it's going to be either Amazon.
That'd be stupid or, to do that.
Or Netflix.
Netflix. Yeah. I think Netflix makes sense. Hey, announcing our new CEO, Phil Harrison. Oh shit!
Because it's all about they probably don't know what his history is, and they're like, all right, this guy used to work for Microsoft and PlayStation and Google. Let's get him.
Yeah.
They'll just see the outlines. Oh, Microsoft, Google, you know, all of these awesome companies. Yeah, wow, that's impressive resume.
Wow.
And then you know, he goes to Netflix gaming division, and then the gamer is going to be like, "Oh shit. Here we go."
You need to weaponize Phil Harrison. Essentially send him to companies that you weaponize Phil Harrison. If you want, you know, if you just want to clear the battlefield, right, you just send him over to one of those companies. Look, this guy, and then boom, it's gone.
No, but you're right. That's how these companies think. That's like, how do you think Joel McHale kept getting fucking gigs for gaming shows? Like, hey, he did this show, he did this show, he did this show, get him. It's like, no, we don't like this guy, he's not funny, you know.
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious, man. So yeah, Phil Harrison, I'm looking forward to seeing what you kill next, bruh. You know? What else do we have here? Oh, the last story of the night. I threw this one in for me because I'm happy about this. So the Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster is finally coming to consoles, people. PS4 and Switch. And the best part, they changed the font. That was the big sticking point with this collection. Like, people were pissed off about the font because the font looked fucking terrible. It was the same font that they used for the mobile games, you know? But now they restored it. It looks nice. And they're even adding some more features that aren't in the PC version, which I hope get brought over to the PC version, where just like Bravely Default, you could actually adjust the parameters of the battles. Like, for example, let's say you're doing level grinding, you could turn up the difficulty if you want, you could turn it down, you could raise the XP, you could lower it, raise the money, lower it, or completely erase it. So you could basically tailor the game to how you want, which is cool. It's like, if like, okay, here's level grinding time, let me turn up the XP all the way, grind a lot, and then like when you go through the story, just turn off the encounters, go through it and stuff. So this is pretty dope, you know. And I've been, you know, talking about how I wanted remasters of the first six Final Fantasy games forever. I was happy when they released the original one on PC, but I was pissed off about the font. You know, I had to get I got a mod for that shit just to fix it because it looked terrible. You know, and shout out to the modding community, man. They got on that real quick. You know, like one day later after the game released, they had the font ready. You know, but this is cool. You know, I'm happy about it. I believe it's coming out April 14th. And the interesting thing is, because obviously on PC it's just digital, but they will have a physical version of this. I'll still get it digital though, you know. On PS4, we ain't fucking with no Switch, you know.
Isn't it on the Switch?
No.
No, it's on the Switch and PlayStation 4.
No. I said I will be getting it on PS4 because I ain't fucking with no Switch, you know.
Ah.
I need my trophies, baby, you know.
You dust off your old PlayStation 4.
Yeah, no, I'm like a PS5, you know it. Upscale, I know. I'll upscale it to 4K, 60 frames a second.
Yeah, man.
You know, way twicing, you know.
Yeah, they also added rebound. They also rebalanced all the games to essentially bring back the way they were before.
Yeah, and so also you went back. Yeah. Because it is like they rebalanced it to make it easier, but you can also make it hard like it used to be if you want, you know. And also the music, you could switch back and forth between the old music and the new music because they did a really good job with the new music.
As well as the pixel art, you can switch it to the older pixel art.
Which is pretty cool, you know, so I'm happy about that. Who else is interested in this? And Brett, I'm looking at you because I know you love Final Fantasy VI.
I mean, sure, baby.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it.
Yeah, I got to get it.
That doesn't sound like enthusiasm.
I'm kind of got a bit of series fatigue with it, and like I just Final Fantasy lost me a while ago.
But it's the old ones. It's not the new ones.
It's the ones you.
I know, and I'll be honest. That's the part that I admit. I'm like, doesn't really make sense. Like, would I like to go back and play Final Fantasy VI again? Yeah, but I don't know. Like, something about the re-release of VII rubbed me the wrong way. Like, I liked it, but it also just kind of. I feel like it took a shine off the apple somehow. It's tough to put into words, and I'm probably the only person that feels that way.
Interesting. That is an interesting take.
I felt like Seven just kind of lost some of the magic. And I know that this would be different, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not too interested in that one.
You good, Carlos?
Yeah, it's the sprite looking one, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it can turn me off with those types of character designs.
I mean, what's different on this than the other times that they've re-released it?
The main thing is, like, aside from all the things I just mentioned right now, it's like the sprites are made to look more closer to what they originally looked like, but still be updated because they're all consistent now because every time they've re-released these, they haven't been consistent. Also, the fact that you get all six of them in one bundle where you can't before because, like, for example, 4 and 5 were different. No, excuse me, 3 and 4 were like fucking like 3D, especially 3D. They had two versions of 4. It was just a really jumbled mess. Like, if you wanted to just get all the original ones in one package, you finally have it, you know?
I think that right there actually explains my fatigue. Like, it has been such a clusterfuck of different versions releasing. Oh, that this is a little bit different. Oh, they patched it with this one. And oh, they now they tweaked this. Like, motherfucker, like, you've been taking baby steps. And then you're like, look how far we've come. Like, yeah, but I mean...
Well, Brett, this is why
there's nothing new here. Yeah. It's just a remix and a bundle again.
Well, it's not again. The bundle part is the new part. Because, again, I've been yelling about this for years. I'm like, can you please give me a bundle of these six games just pixelized? I don't want no fucking 2D, 3D. I don't want this bullshit. Just give me one package, all the games to be pixelized, and they finally did it, you know? Because you're right. Yeah, it's been a mess. It's like, if you wanted to just play the original Final Fantasy VI, it's been a pain in the fucking ass, you know?
Yeah, and I guess that's why I'm just like, shit, I'm just fatigued. Like, I've been down this road so many times, and maybe once it's in front of me, I'll be like, oh, this is an easy way to experience the game that I loved as a child. But, like, man, like, after you've been down this road, like, a million times, it's just kind of,
yeah, I mean, we've had, just a ton of versions of Final Fantasy IV alone, you know? But I'm happy they're just in. I mean, I already own this on PC, but I'll buy it again. Because I've been wanting this for years.
That's a big question.
Oh, it's, I think it's $75.
What? Oh, damn.
God damn it.
Yeah, which is what it costs on PC if you buy them all. Like, because they're selling them piecemeal, which is stupid to me. I'm like, why don't you sell the shit for $40, bruh? You know?
Because I can get more money if they piecemeal. Like, it feels like you're robbing me from my childhood, man. Like, it's not like that way for a minute.
That was the thing I was going to get to. It's like, I will wait until the shit drops down to like $20.
Yeah, it's interesting with Square and Final Fantasy. Like, the only thing that's in my tunnel vision right now is 16 and 7 Remake Part 2. That's all of these.
Final Fantasy 7-2.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 7-2.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm waiting for that, man. All right, that's it for news. So let's get into what we've been playing. Brett, you jump in first. You were telling me something cool before the show started.
Well, I have to get my ass kicked by Wulong, like, all over the goddamn place.
Yeah, tell us about the game.
This is some market level shit. Okay, so Wulong is a game by Team Ninja, the guys who brought us Ninja Gaiden. And, oh boy, you can tell. It definitely has a Ninja Gaiden feel to it, but it's kind of blended with the Souls-like formula. You know, for some real, real interesting results. It is very hard, but also the level of bullshit is definitely up there with the classic Ninja Gaiden games. And it doesn't really feel like Dark Souls. It doesn't feel like any Souls-like. It feels kind of more like the recent Jedi game than anything. Yeah, Jedi Fallen Order mixed with Ninja Gaiden. It relies pretty heavily on parries, but weirdly in a less annoying way than Sekiro did. Like, it's easier to catch the parries, but then just the random flailing of some monsters. I'm like, how am I supposed to catch like all 8 of these fucking parries? Meanwhile, my stamina bar, like, there's definitely a level of bullshit to it. It's not as like polished as, say, Elden Ring, kind of more close to, you know, some of the original Souls games. Like, a lot of the game is not intuitive, but it's kind of fun figuring out some of it, and it's got an interesting system, and it's got some cool wizardry, and like the pacing on it is pretty cool, where you have to land basic attacks on enemies to kind of, you don't have stamina or mana. What you have is this kind of spirit gauge that goes in the negative or the positive, and as you land regular light hits on enemies, it goes up. And then expending your heavy attack called spirit attacks, or casting magic, or using a weapon art, those all cost spirit. So you kind of have to, you know, it makes for a very aggressive kind of Bloodborne style combat where each time you deflect or cast or do anything other than hit, it costs spirit. And then you need to land hits on them to build spirit up. And this includes, like, you're dodging, so you can cast too much magic and then not be able to fucking dodge. And then if you get caught with your stamina all the way down, it breaks your stance, whereas if your stamina is in the positive, when you throw attacks, you get damage bonuses. So it's really kind of about managing this kind of hectic balls to the wall. Like, if you're getting your ass kicked, you can't just step back and kind of take a moment and play on the defensive a minute. because you're not getting your fucking powers unless you're whittling on the person. So for the most part, it's been really good. I know Adam kind of noped the fuck out of it. But once you got past the first boss, which was definitely, you know, a bit tough, but then you're like, oh, it's a game about a lot of parrying and kind of building up momentum. Okay, I get that. The first three levels pretty quick. There's like multiple stages per level. And then I got to this fucking bison motherfucker, and I just had been stuck on him for 2 days. And I went and I was like, what the fuck is up with this guy? He just one-shot me. What is my problem? And the internet consensus is, oh yeah, that guy's a bastard. He'll one-shot you. So, cool. Just gotta get good again in a different game. That's fine. It'll be okay.
Get gooder.
Yeah. So, who knows? Maybe by the time I go back to Elden Ring, I'll suddenly be able to parry all the time now. So, because I've never been a big parry god, but like, here's the thing about it. One, the parry window is pretty generous. Two, the only attacks that you can't parry literally glow red. So it's kind of the same as it. If you're fine with it in God of War, then you're going to be fine with it here. And I would say it's very much the same. And I want to say I think in a lot of these games, if you're allowed to block and try and parry at the same time, it's much more forgiving. Because all that you get for missing your parry is you block instead of parry. You see? When you have to, like, risk the parry just, you know, when you have to choose either or, then you're just like, well, I'm just eating these hits now. That's not any fun.
Shit.
So as long as you don't deal with that in the red ones, then you're fine. But again, it kind of feels like very Ninja Gaiden-y. Gaiden.
Yeah, we used to say Gaiden, now it's Gaiden, but yeah, I know what you mean. See, that part, I'm like, I don't know if I want to subject myself to that. Again, I've gotten to the point when it comes to these, like, Souls-like games, I'm like, I'll accept no substitute. Like, if it's not by From Software Miyazaki, I'm like, yeah, I'm good, you know?
But the thing is, it doesn't feel like a Souls game. Like, it's definitely taken some inspiration from it. There are flags that you kind of get to, and they act as your checkpoints throughout the level, but again, like, checkpoints aren't really something that the Souls genre came up with. They just kind of revived it. You know, a lot of 3D games they kind of abandoned checkpoints, and they kind of just brought it back. So I don't think there's anything wrong with checkpoints. I don't think there's anything wrong with the idea of XP, you know, getting XP. You do drop some of your accrued, like half of your accrued XP every time you die, and then you have a chance to go back and get the last run. So it's a bit more forgiving than that. It also has this weird morale mechanic, where you, the more you die, the lower your morale becomes. The more you kill people, the higher morale becomes. And that just makes you take less damage and deal more. So, like, you're kind of incentivized to just go around kicking everybody's ass before you run and hit the boss. You know, kick ass, take some names.
Yeah, aggressive style, basically.
Yeah. Kick, you know, get to the boss feeling good. Be like, I just kicked the shit out of everybody on the way here. And now you're next, motherfucker. So it's fun. Like it feels more like an evolution of a Team Ninja game than it does a version of a Soulsborne game. Does that make sense?
It actually does make sense. Interesting.
So if you enjoy Team Ninja games, and I'll be honest, the weird thing to me is like there's been very little talk about this, and I'm not sure if it's just because it kind of flew under the radar. I'm like, this is a Team Ninja game, like Team Ninja. Like I kind of feel like their games at least were kind of big deals. I always look forward to them. And this one delivers as a Team Ninja game. So if you didn't know, now you know. Try it out.
If you don't know, now you know. Yeah. I mean, I've heard people talk about this game like a lot, but not as much as like Sekiro. That was the game that everybody was fucking talking about forever. But you're right. This one, it seemed to me like there was a lot of hype for it before it came out. Then it came out, and then no one talked about it as much.
It feels very Japanese, but again, that's kind of how Team Ninja games feel.
Yeah. Okay, cool stuff. All right, Brian, what have you been playing lately?
Nothing much, really. Just continuing some Outriders. Just going through that, and that's really it. This week wasn't really playing games week. It was just kind of catching up on manga week. So, nothing.
Brian, how do you read manga?
On my phone.
Ah, interesting.
I have a phone. Blizzard. I have a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if you read it on like a you know, e-reader or something.
I would like one. Just because I think, again, I think with manga, it needs to have a good size screen. And again, phones don't really do it justice. So I think like a good, maybe like 8-inch screen would be nice. So yeah. I think that would like a, not well, probably not perfect size, but it would be like optimal size, like 8 to 9 inches type screen should be. In case people are wondering, it's Dan Dadan. It's like Fooly Cooly, like current year. It's pretty good. Definitely recommend it. Outriders. I don't think I'll be finishing that soon. It's just fine. That's the problem. It's just fine.
I stopped playing it after I reviewed it, and like after 35 hours, it's like I think I'm good. Ooh. I don't need to play this anymore.
Yeah, it's just all right. But I'll pick up something next. I was thinking going back to Hi-Fi Rush or maybe doing Doom Eternal finally.
Ooh. Doom Eternal's fucking awesome, man.
That's the problem.
It's fucking amazing.
Hi-Fi Rush is short.
Then Doom Eternal is Doom Eternal.
Yes.
You know, if it's anything like the other Doom, then it's going to be great.
It's like the other Doom, but bigger. You'll see it's like big. You know, that's a game I still like because that's like one of my main test games when I'm testing new like systems and stuff. And Brian, I think you'll like my methodology, right? When I'm testing like a new laptop or a PC or whatever, I always play Doom Eternal and Cyberpunk, right? Here's my reasoning. One of the best optimized games ever, Doom Eternal. One of the worst optimized games, Cyberpunk. Let's see how this system handles them, you know? Although Cyberpunk is obviously in a better state now. But yeah, good stuff. As for myself, I haven't been playing anything. Like, I was playing some Resident Evil 4, but I stopped because I'm working on some, like, personal project stuff. I'm almost nearing that. So after I finish that, I'll start playing some Resident Evil 4. And I will be playing Jedi Fallen Order or Survivor or whatever it's called when it comes out, or maybe before. Wink, wink. So I will be playing games soon, so stay tuned for that. That's all I can say right now. Manny, have you been playing anything?
No, I've been too busy doing other things. Lots of stuff coming up in the coming weeks.
Yeah, that money. And Carlos, have you been playing anything?
No, but I will be playing Jedi Fallen Order this weekend, finally. Gonna try to beat it starting the weekend, try to beat it through that next week. In preparation for the next installment.
Yeah, no, that's good. I think you'll like it. Like, you and I have the kind of same taste in games. I think you'll like it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you'll like it. I guess because the new game's coming out, I've seen a lot more people posting themselves playing the old game, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is fucking awesome, you know?
Am I, baby?
You know? All right, people, so we are done here. I'm guessing there's nothing to plug because I am Negan and all that good stuff.
No, it's the hiatus.
The nuke. Oh, man. Anyway, make sure you follow Throw It On Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. And again, shout out to you guys in the Discord for always posting stories, because I literally get all our gaming stories of every week from you guys. So it's a big help, you know. Seriously, because because of work, I'm like not on Twitter as much as I used to be. So you guys help out a lot. It's great. Also, make sure you find Throwdown on your favorite podcast app, Throwdown Show, throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you've been listening to us and watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight, joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
There's this.
And Brian Majoma.
So we've reached a point now where mixed race people are somehow racist. Really, D&D?
Oh, wow. Okay, we had to talk about that off air. All right, people, we will see you on Sunday. Later.
Peace.